Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
And welcome back to another episode of Business Innovators Radio. I am your host, Marco Salinas, and I've got a very special guest with us here today, Mr. Zaid Kasem. Did I say that right?
Perfect.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Zaid Kasem. Zaid is the Chief Product and Tech Officer with TurboPass USA, and he is our special guest for today's program. We're going to be talking to him, learning a little bit more about his background, how he got to the role that he's in today, maybe even a little bit more about what he was doing prior to his executive roles, and just an overall fun, laid-back conversation with you, Zaid. So welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Marco, for having me. I look forward to the conversation.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, let's dive in. Let's dive right into it. I've got several questions here for you. And the first one that I want to ask you is, looking back, were there any signs or clues that you had the executive gene in your DNA?
Yeah, Marco, you know, that's a very interesting question in the sense that I personally think that everyone has the executive DNA, whether they're in their professional lives or in their personal life. You are your own boss, right? To a certain extent. And, you know, what everyone looks for in an executive is someone who is sometimes is critically thinking about making decisions all the way to being able to roll up their sleeves and get right to it, right? Depends on the organization, depends on your personal life. But in my mind, I think the definition of an executive and whether I have that gene or not, I think everyone has that gene. Where I feel like where my role in my development of my professional career has really stemmed from the fact that I started at the grassroots level. And being able to understand what needs to happen, you know, making the widgets, working on projects that were very intricate, but also very hands-on. And it wasn't just about making decisions. It was about socializing. It was about giving leaders information they needed to make better decisions for whatever the project or the initiative was. And so in that life cycle, it's very important to understand that there's a lot of characteristics. There's a lot of traits that an individual has that I would consider today's executive, right? Or the definition of executive. I think it's overused. I think sometimes people think that you classify yourself as an executive. And I just find that that's not the best way of doing it, because we're all our own bosses to a certain extent.
Sure, absolutely. No, I really appreciate that angle that you came in with that information. It's a really good point, and it's kind of like this is within all of us, right? It's just to what extent are we going to bring this out, and that's the part that's up to us. It's up to us to really decide if we're going to go ahead and let that shine or not, right?
Yeah. And what motivates us, right? At the end of the day, what makes us happy? Sometimes, you know, I've taken so many of these different personality exams over the course of my career. And yes, everyone kind of has a specific DNA to a certain extent in their professional career, or, and how does that translate into their personal careers or personal lives? And so I think this is an interesting topic that I have, you know, when you did those Myers-Briggs and these various types of tests, would always show up on the top right where I was the motivator, the energizer, the innovator, the one that comes up with the creative ideas and then goes executes on them. So I think, you know, those are just some of the basic traits of a leader, maybe not an executive, but a leader.
Sure, definitely. You gave mention just a moment ago about grassroots. And so I kind of want to go back to some of the early phases of your career. In fact, let's take it a step further. go back to maybe, you know, your younger years, your childhood, your early education. I'm always curious to know where people are today. Did they see any visible signs of those things when they were early on? So now you're an adult, you're firmly established in what you do. Do you ever kind of find that correlation? You say, you know, thinking back when I was a kid, I remember I was doing this and I was doing that. And I can see now how, you know, that kind of turned into or led down the pathway that I've ended up on. Are there any situations or stories from your younger years that you could kind of tie into where you are today, and anything that you can kind of maybe even tell a little story about that might tie in with, you know, the things that you're doing now for specifically for TurboPass or for even for some of the other companies that you've worked for?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think this is a great question too, Margo. Yeah, I'll give an example, or actually a story. I was a freshman in college, and I was in a communications class, and our professor basically said, we want you to go interview an individual, someone that means something to you, someone that you look up to. And I was this 18-year-old kid who didn't have a scare in the world at that point in my life, right? Because I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know what I was doing. I was working for a financial institution, and I took the risk, and I reached out to the organization's CEO's office, and this individual honored my ask of interviewing him. And in doing so, what ended up happening was I ended up going to the interview, but the organization or the department that I was working on, the senior vice president, found out that I was interviewing the CEO. And so I still remember to this day, his name was Jack, who was the senior vice president. He calls me into the office, says, Zahid, what are you doing? Like, why are you going interviewing the CEO of this financial institution? And this financial institution is quite large at that point in time. And so I remember having the interview, and unfortunately the CEO was a little sick, so they asked me to go interview the COO of this organization. I ended up going. I had a great interview, and my topic was really focusing on why executives or senior leaders in an organization don't spend the time with those who work on the ground, right? Those who are working day to day and are not engaged, because there's such a disparity between executive leadership or management to the day-to-day individuals who are working. And so that was the premise for my discussion. And it was so funny that, you know, after the interview, the executive actually completed a survey, turned it into my professor. I got a, you know, great grade on it, and it was a great moment. But the funny story around that is, 2 weeks later, he comes and visits our offices. He said he's actually going around to all of the operations and actually visit every operation and to actually meet with the people who do the day-to-day work. And what that resulted in was me getting some level of attention at that SVP level, saying, okay, this was a great experience. He was not scared. He was very honest and very transparent. And that's how I've translated my experience from that period in time to now, is I feel like it doesn't matter what role or what level you are in an organization, you should have a pulse on the ground. You should know what your customers are going through, what their experiences are. Because if you don't understand the customer experience, you can't offer a product or service that, you know, satisfies their needs. And so that was an important learning for me personally and professionally, because that was my stepping stone to say, I have to have a pulse on my customer. And that's how I look at it today in my product world. If I don't truly understand my customer, I'm not building the right products.
Got it. Yeah. I absolutely love the fact that you mentioned that you're very well aware. And it sounds like you've always been aware of that huge disparity between the people that are kind of boots on the ground, and then those executive level roles, right? I think that's kind of, you know, the maybe the biggest gripe or the biggest concern that you hear from the people that are in those roles, the people that are down there face to face with the people working, you know, on the front line, so to speak, right? And then you have those individuals that are supposedly kind of just up in their office and, you know, fat cat, you know, there's a lot of those kind of stereotypes, right? But the good news is that over the years, I think that has been greatly improved because of people like yourself, because you're aware of that. And you probably also remember in your earlier years, maybe you were the guy that was a little bit more on the front line. So you kind of know where that's coming from. And I think that's probably what you meant by grassroots, right? You kind of got started with a lot of that entry level stuff. You put your work in, you know, you're able to empathize with the people that are in those roles.
That's right.
And in a sense, you never forget that.
Absolutely. It's such an important part of your professional development, even your personal development, is knowing the fact that where it started, where did you start from? And, you know, some people were fortunate that had a little bit of an advantage in their lives. I definitely didn't. You know, my family is a blue collar factory parents who worked in the factories and worked odd hours. And, you know, their primary goal was for me to get educated. And
sure,
that education led to, for me, it was a motivation to aspire to be better as a better human being, as a better professional, someone who wants to go out and conquer the world. So that was my framework, right? And until you actually have that experience, you don't really have an understanding of what it takes to achieve that pinnacle of success.
Understand. Yeah, 100%. And that's a perfect segue to my next question, Zaid. And that was kind of the direction that I wanted to go. Was there a specific moment in your life when you kind of decided, you know, I'm going to really do something with myself. I'm going to do something with my career. I'm going to be a someone. Do you remember having really strong goals and desires to do that in the earlier years? Or was it more of something that just kind of, as you went along, it just kind of started to organically progress?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both. You know, having goals is so important in a person's desire to achieve something. And, you know, they say that if you write down your goals, you have a better chance of achieving them, right?
Right.
And I generally did that. I'd write down my goals. And every birthday, I would take stock of what have I accomplished and being accepted and being happy of what I've accomplished. I think one of the things I tell my daughter now is having expectations, right? Sometimes we have too high of an expectation. And then when we don't achieve it, we feel failure. And so I tell her on an ongoing basis that have goals, have, you know, write them down, but also have expectations that if you don't achieve, that doesn't mean that you're a failure. That means you just have to continue working at it and focusing on it. And so that's been my mindset is I have goals. I, you know, sometimes I got lucky. Sometimes I worked hard to get to where I am. But at the end of the day, it's all about internally believing in yourself that you can achieve those goals. And once you have that mindset, it's your own destiny. And so I think it's all about internally believing that you can succeed, you can achieve your goals and get to where you want to be, right? Whether, I know a lot of people say success is being content, success is the financial wealth, success is a whole different definition. And I feel like to me, it's being content in my own skin, saying, I'm happy, this is who I am, and it's okay to fail. Failure is okay. And I think people shun upon that failure is not a good thing. And no, I think failure allows you to learn fast and be able to improve, whether you want to pivot in your goals or you want to continue pursuing until you figure it out. So I think that's been part of the growing up that I've learned. I failed miserably. I've had businesses where I've lost a lot of money, but that was part of the growing up. That's becoming who I am as a person, just saying, it's not about the financial wealth. It's about the internal gratification.
Sure. 100%. Myself, Zaid, I really like to kind of focus a little bit with any of the individuals that I have here on my podcast on that very. If you don't mind, can we expound just a little further on the subject matter of failure? Because I think it is just absolutely critical to share that message, especially when I have someone that is, you know, on your caliber, on your level of success. But as you were mentioning, those things did not come without first having to go through probably some pretty significant struggles or setbacks or, you know, any of those things. But I think what it sounds like is that the key thing here was that you had the right mindset and that you could either choose to allow the failure to, you know, derail you completely and, oh, you know, look, see, it didn't go right. That's it. This isn't for me. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to chalk this up. I'm going to learn from it. Obviously, there was a lot of lessons in this situation here. And then let's go ahead and take that and apply that to the next venture, right? To the next thing that we are working on. Is there anything within that context that you would be willing to discuss or share? Maybe just a little bit more detail, maybe a detail about one of those businesses that didn't go exactly the direction that you wanted it to. And then, you know, maybe just mention one item that you feel like you really, that golden nugget that you took from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Experience like that you could share?
Yeah, absolutely, Margo. I think, you know, I've been in corporate America ever since I graduated from college. And that's just been, you know, it's a very comfort zone, right? You're very comfortable in having a constant paycheck. You're not worried about a lot of things. And so I think 15, 17 years into my corporate America, I had the itch of going into business. And I was helping a family member out, and we ended up investing in a gas station convenience store. And I lived in Texas, and this was in Memphis, Tennessee. Let's just put it this way. I learned very quickly that if you're not hands-on in a business, it could be financially detrimental to one's being. And so what ended up happening was, a year and a half into it, I lost a lot of money due to other reasons, other factors. And it was the one time I started a business and said, oh my God, maybe going into business is not for me. And, you know, it took a little bit of time to realize that it was not me. Well, it was a little bit of me because I didn't have the controls I needed to have to manage a business from Texas in Tennessee. And it was a lot of issues that transpired. But nonetheless, what I learned from there is just because that was a failure, that was a catastrophe from my lens, right? And
sure,
what ended up happening was, you know, a couple years after that experience, you know, my wife and I discussed and saying, I don't think business is for us. We're not business people. We're corporate people. We're corporate America people. So I had an opportunity to get into another business, into the restaurant business. And as a result of, you know, I have a great partner who's really supportive in these efforts and gave me the thumbs up to go and try this. And, you know, I had no experience in the restaurant business. So I ended up working in the restaurants. Made tacos. I cleaned the bathrooms, and you know, I was at a day job, was corporate in the corporate world. And in the evenings and the weekends was working a restaurant. And you know, that hard work paid off. Was able to truly understand and grasp the restaurant business. And you know, luckily now I am a partner in four restaurants in the Texas area. So,
well,
one of those experiences in life where when you fail, you learn fast and hopefully don't repeat those mistakes.
Yes, absolutely. Fail forward, right?
Yep.
That is really cool stuff. Thank you very much, Zaid, for sharing that. I think personally that it's really interesting that you have this really solid background on the corporate side, but you found some real balance there with your involvements in your small business, specifically in this, in the restaurant world, a lot of the things that take place in those restaurants is not glamorous. Some of the things that you mentioned are the kind of things that most people would run the other direction from. But, you know, that's part of the equation, specifically when you have a restaurant. Sometimes you do have to go in and scrub a toilet or two, right? Or clean out the grease traps or, you know.
Absolutely.
Kind of things, right? I mean, because that's just part of the makeup of that line of work and that line of business. And it's phenomenal how somehow, some way, those tasks and those duties, as menial as they may seem, they can still tie in with the bigger picture and they can still be part of our success journey. So thank you again for sharing that aspect of that. Transitioning a different direction here. Can you talk a little bit more about your current role? So again, you're an executive with TurboPass. You have a background in the fraud prevention space. Can you tell us a little bit more about Zaid, who Zaid is today and the role that you're in today, now that you've had this long journey of learning all sorts of different things? Can you kind of describe a little bit about your current role with TurboPass and what you're doing with that, and really specifically the problems that you're helping to solve?
Yeah, no, you know, the role at TurboPass has been, you know, and again, it's been the last, I would say, 45 days, and it's been a great experience in this capacity. And the reason why is because you're really trying to solve a problem. I love solving problems. And so, you know, when you bring problem that the market is experiencing and you give the opportunity to go solve for it, that is kind of what my job is at TurboPass, in a leadership capacity where I'm energizing a lot of team and focused on understanding what the problem is, what are our customers experiencing, and then how do we take data and make it in a meaningful way so that our end customers are able to mitigate the fraud exposure or fraud risk for their business line? A clear example is we provide verification services. TurboPass provides verification services for our various customers who are either dealers, lenders, management organizations, medical. We have a wide array of customers who use our information to make prudent decisions on whether a consumer has the capacity and ability to pay. And then more importantly, are they committing fraud from an identity or from a misrepresentation of income? Because many of the organizations are lending to these consumers who may or may not, you know, depends on their own conscience, and have willing to lie on these applications to say this is how much they make or this is who they are or they have insurance or not. So there's a whole bunch of different misrepresentation that happens in that process. And so what TurboPass does is it enables our customers to feel secure about the decisions they're making, so that down the road, there isn't a situation where now they're stuck with that loan and they can't, I mean, there's losses that they have to incur. And so I think that excites me because it's a problem the industry is experiencing, and then be able to take information and make it valuable. So that's the first part of the role. The second part is I love to work with people. I'm a people person. I love to talk to different peoples, or I like to talk to different individuals. And more importantly, I hope I can help someone who is young in their careers, help them understand what it takes to be where they want to be. So be a mentor, be someone who people can come to for guidance and feedback. And so I think that's been the fun part about TurboPass. And even in a leadership role, where you have a lot of time and you have a lot of access to influence individuals, to help it in their careers, professionally and personally. So the role at TurboPass is not just about selling a product, but it's about selling a product that actually has value to our customers, that help our employees feel comfortable of what they're delivering and growing personally and professionally.
Yeah, absolutely. Great information. Thank you. Thank you for explaining all of that. Just a couple of final questions here for you, Zaid, before we wrap up. I always like to ask just a couple of questions on more of a personal side. So we've covered your professional experience and your business experience, but what does Zaid do in his off time? What does that look like? How do you recharge from business? And who do you typically spend your non-business time with?
Yeah, no, I have a daughter, so I like try to spend as much time with her, but you know, she's a teenager, so the time with her is kind of dwindling given the fact that she's got her own personality now. So, you know, I like to be very active. I'm an active person. If you haven't figured out, I love to go places, but you know, recently I've been, you know, involved in different sports, from softball to playing golf to pickleball, working out, staying physically fit. And that is my decompression outside of work and focusing on other things. But I love to be physically active. And that's the way I handle managing the stresses and being with the boys, hanging out with the boys. That's fun. It's always good. And then, of course, you know, the family's important. They're the backbones of, and backbones for me, at least. And they help me succeed in life. And they're part of that, my succession plan.
That is awesome. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your personal life, because it's important to know that you're not just some, you know, constant work machine, that you do still have your personal life and the things that you enjoy to do, because those are the things that really truly do recharge us so that we can go back in and get to work and have that sharp, fresh, clean mind and come up with these great ideas, especially in your role, because that's a big part of what TurboPass has hired you for, your creativity. And where in the world are we going to get creativity if we're just in constant 24/7 work mode, right? I mean, we got to have that fun downtime. I've got one last question for you, Zaid. And I think this is a big one. It does sometimes, you know, require a little bit of thought processing, but if you could go back into time and give the pre-successful version of yourself one piece of advice, you could jump in a DeLorean and go visit yourself right around maybe when you were that 18-year-old or, you know, somewhere in that. What would that be? What would that sound like? What would that look like?
Yeah, no, I think what I've learned in the course of my career and life is that it's all about relationships. It's about building relationships. And so if I had a magic wand or, you know, a DeLorean that I can go back in time, is that I wish I had really focused on my education in my earlier days in high school and college, because, you know, the networks that you build is very important. These are the networks that, you know, that will help you build your career. I'll give an example. I was at an organization and I was asked to do a due diligence on a company. And one of the tasks that I had as part of that due diligence was to meet with the C-suite. And in doing so, I met with the CEO, the CFO, the COO, and the various C-suites in that organization. And there was a commonality amongst all of them. And they all were Penn State graduates. And I said, wow, that's interesting. So one thing I learned was, all of them were sorority. They were part of the sorority or fraternity that they all belonged to. And it was quite interesting to say that those relationships they fostered in college or, you know, younger days of their careers, that helped them and catapulted them to taking on or getting these very senior level positions. Now, like, take that as a grain of salt, because it's about getting the opportunity and working hard to it. If I had to, I would have worked a little bit harder in high school, gotten to school that, you know, would be, you know, now you look back, you'd love to go to an Ivy League school. So it would have been a great opportunity. And I wish I had, you know, participated in fraternities where I would have met like-minded individuals who would have helped me build my network. But that's one thing that I would look back and say, building relationships is very important. And if you want to be, have an opportunity to really succeed and grow in that phase of your life, start early in building those relationships.
Definitely. I think that's some really wise advice. And of course, hindsight's always 20. We always have that benefit of seeing things later in life as we look back. But that's why I think that's a very important question, because this is the kind of thing that our listeners will be able to take that and say, all right, so someone who's seasoned and someone who is successful and has done very well, if they could still make an adjustment, what would that be? And in your case, you know, at the end of the day, more relationships. I mean, it's something that we all know. It's who you know, networking, you know, all that kind of stuff is just so vitally important. And I think that's really what your main advice is, just don't take those relationships for granted, cultivate those, and it can probably open up all kinds of doors for you. So incredible information, Zaid. I thank you so much for your time today. That pretty much does it for this particular conversation, but thank you again so much for all the information that you shared with us and for your time today.
No, thank you, Marco, for the opportunity. I really appreciate having this conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you. And that does it for another episode of Business Innovators Radio. We will catch you here next time.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.